Hey everyone, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Micro Brands. All right, today my buddy Brian Johnson, the founder of Canopy Management, is going to be with us. We've traveled the globe together and we've had just a great time. Anywhere we meet up. But anyways, he's going to come on today and we're going to be talking about the top five mistakes sellers make when advertising. So it's going to be a great show. But before we get to it, I'm going to bring on another great guest, past guest, Paul Barron. And we're going to be talking about something we're doing next Wednesday, which is kind of cool that, you know, it's all the rage right now. And that's Clubhouse. So Kelsey, even before we get you on, where's my buddy? Where's Mr. Barron?
What's up, dude?
Hey.
Good to see you.
Where did the bags go?
The bags under my eyes? they're still there. I just turned on my studio lights so that...
Oh, okay. All right.
You know, this is a trick that I learned from Barbara Corcoran. Okay, so I met with her... it was 2017. We met her twice. One in 2016, and then we had a consultation with her in 2017. She actually gave me really good tips on selfie taking and also on like looking good in photos. So she said if you can get a light and put it below your face and have it shine up, yeah, then people don't see the lines because of shadows.
You know what I do?
Just wear glasses?
No, just put my beard up. Nobody sees anything when you put your beard up. Hey, guys. Let's talk about what's happening next Wednesday because people are talking about it. People are getting all sorts of misinformation. Let's talk about Clubhouse.
All right. So what do you want to know? This is, as you know, Norm, I spend entirely too much time on Clubhouse.
We'll talk.
All right.
So what are we, like next weekend or on Wednesday, we want to bring in. So Colin Campbell or Jeff Sass from Dot Club are going to be on. You're going to be on. And really, we're just going to be talking about the ins and outs of Clubhouse, how to get an invite. If you don't have an invite, we'll be able to get a bunch of you some invites. We've got a bunch that we're going to hold on to, and we'll give it out on that day, next Wednesday. But anyways, tell us a little bit about Clubhouse, and then we'll get Brian back on.
Yeah, so Clubhouse is... it's like being able to go to a mastermind whenever you want and stick around for as long as you want and either be a fly in the wall and just listen in or go sit at a table and ask questions from brilliant people or be the person at the table giving people value whenever you want. And that's the cool thing. It's in your – obviously, it's an app on iPhone, iOS only. So my buddy Tim Jordan got himself an iPhone – so that he could get on Clubhouse, which is hilarious. He has like this burner phone. And that's the best way that I can describe it. It's kind of like, it's kind of like a mastermind that you can go to whenever you want. And it's, across the board. I mean, those are the rooms that I'm in, but there's a lot of other like goofy rooms. Like I was in a room the other day when they were saying that apparently there's a whisper room that happens every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's people just go into the room and they whisper. That's it.
It's really drive me crazy.
It's really weird. It's really weird. I don't know if it's like an ASMR thing or if it's like everyone's so addicted to Clubhouse that they're on it in bed and they don't want to wake their spouse up. They're whispering. But so there's rooms like that. There's rooms with...
do they have any rooms for signing? That's the thing.
God. Jeez.
So, look... I know like 5 minutes before we were going live, I just said, hey, come on, let's talk a little bit about Clubhouse. And like next week, people are going to learn how to set up, how to get the invite, how to set up, getting a club, which I think is very important, how to get a dot club to help solidify the marketing, your marketing, if you want to do this right, and even a few marketing tips, correct?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so we can do that. And it looks like there's a lot of people commenting, how can they get an invite? We can kick off an invite chain prior to that, too.
Yes.
I am sitting, because I'm so active on the app, I have quite a few invites, and I'm reserving those because the way that Clubhouse actually judges you on the people that you invite. So if you invite somebody who's disruptive, that comes up to you. So that, like, the invite thing is actually pretty important. They have a zero tolerance for trolls on the platform. Like, I was in a room yesterday, a panelist with Melissa in the Empowery room that she did. And there was this one kid that kept raising his hand to get on stage. The first time I thought that he was confused about how the mic worked and was talking. And then he raised his hand two more times, and both times he got on stage was just super disruptive. So with people like that, if people report them, that person will get banned immediately. Like, no questions asked, they're out.
Yeah.
And apparently it also follows back to the person who sponsored them, who nominated them. So that's one reason why Clubhouse invites are so scarce right now, because even if people have them, they're careful about who they give them to, because they don't want to give them to somebody that they don't know and trust, just in case that could happen.
Right.
But this is, I think we're doing the podcast already, and that's next week.
Yeah, it's next week. But anyways, there's a little bit. So guys, Wednesday at noon, we're going to have, it'll either be Colin Campbell, Jeff Sass over at club.club on, as well as Paul talking about Clubhouse. And if you have any questions, just post it in the group and we'll make sure that we cover them. Thank you, Mr. Barron.
You are welcome. Good seeing you, man.
Yeah, all you right. too. Yeah.
Let's go back to Brian. He's
smart. All right. Okay, Kelsey, where are you?
All right. We will get to Brian very shortly. But yes, welcome everyone. Welcome to the show. Before you do anything, if you're not already part of the group, you can join us on the Beard Nation Facebook group. It's Lunch with Norm, Amazon FBA, and E-Commerce Collective. So I'll post a link over in the comment section so you can do that. We have one more day left for our AirPod giveaway. So make sure you get your entry in before the contest ends. It's for US residents only. But yeah, we still have about one more day left. And then the announcements of the winner will be on Friday with our big fan episode, our Beard Nation episode. We're going to be inviting on, 5 Beard Nation members from our Facebook group. You'll probably recognize them from their names, but we're super excited about that too.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that we've, let's see, we've got a bunch of people on. All right, Marsha, I'm going to say your name right today. Welcome, Marsha, Dalwin, Milos, Marina, Barb, Elchin, let me see, Yarrow, Mohammed. Hey, welcome to the podcast. And if you have any questions, just let us know. We are going to get to the man behind. This guy knows it all. I don't know if you know about PPC or Sponsored Ad Academy. He also has an incredible company called Canopy, but it's Brian Johnson. So sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, enjoy the show. Let's bring Brian on. I did not forget about you, sir.
Oh, but I did forget what the mute button was. So there you go.
Oh, there you go.
That was funny, you guys talking about as far as Clubhouse. That is so true, what you guys were saying as far as it's addicting. And, yeah, I don't think they have any sign language rooms.
You don't think so?
No, I think it would go over – not go over as quite as well. But we're definitely seeing a lot more diversity as far as the topics that are going on. Interesting to see which ones keep running for like days and days and days straight.
Yeah.
Talk about an unending workshop.
Yeah. There are, I mean, one of the things about it, there's a lot of course pitching going on right now there. A lot of course pitching. And
there's already a Clubhouse course.
Is there?
Yeah. They're pitching on Clubhouse.
But I really do think that it's a great platform that, and we've got an idea that we're going to be telling everybody about next week when Paul's on, about some ideas that we have to help add value to our group. But until then, all right, tell a little bit about yourself, what you do, your superpowers.
My superpowers. No, I you know, I will say that I'm nothing special, really. I think I've just been doing the same thing long enough that I just know. I mean, I know a lot, right? When it comes to Amazon advertising, my two passions are Amazon advertising. And in 2020, I got really big into conversion rate optimization and product positioning because it made such a huge difference in the results that myself or my team got with advertising on Amazon. That's part of a lot of what I've been speaking about lately is properly positioning your product among your competitors, especially the more competitive your niche is, the more that is critical. Anyway, so those are my two passions. I've been in e-commerce for about 14 years and on Amazon specifically for about 6 years, focused on advertising for about five and a half of those years now. So I think I've put in my 10,000 hours by now. As some people have seen before, it's like I created one of the original PPC management software, the original full professional training course. I've got a great community as far as Amazon PPC troubleshooting goes. And then, of course, my flagship these days is my agency, Canopy Management. So, which, yes, I actually am wearing the right shirt today. So that's good. Yeah. So basically, don't ask me about shipping logistics. you know, don't ask me about sourcing. A common question that I get is, do I actually sell? And yes, I do. What I do sell is not a cohesive brand like all of you should be focusing on. It's an eclectic mix of products that I've acquired from other brands who said, you know what, Amazon isn't right for me. I want to out. And so I took it off their hands because I knew that I could blow it up through the advertising and the marketing. And so I have quite a wide range of products that some things I reorder and some things I just, you know, sell off, you know. So I became more of a liquidator, if you will, as far as my accounts go.
Well, I think I was one of the original people in your sponsored academy. I don't know if you know that.
Probably. Yeah, I think, yeah, Sponsored Products Academy 1, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, way, way back. but anyway, look, you've got a great topic today. And you know, just the five mistakes, right? So let's go through it. So everything that you've learned not to do and you've paid the Amazon tax for, you're going to just let everybody know today.
Yeah. And depending on what you prefer on this one, you know, I want to try to keep it really succinct, right? Yep. I don't want to go into too much minutia on this. I can do one of two things. One is I can kind of go through some slides that just kind of give visuals of the topics, or this is also short enough that I can simply just talk about it.
Yeah. You know? I mean, slides would be definitely great for video. For the people listening on the podcast, not so great.
Okay. All right.
How about we do this? How about we talk about it? And for those who want the show notes, we'll have the slides. So I can share the screen definitely here while you're talking about it. And then we'll add the slides if it goes to an audio podcast.
Yeah, okay. How about we can share them to our Facebook group?
Okay.
Only our Facebook. So you have to be in the Facebook group in order to get these slides.
Okay.
To be seen.
You're so mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let me go ahead and jump in here.
Oh, by the way. So I'm seeing a bunch of new people coming in. So, hey, Mark, Raja, Alan, how are you? Baptiste, Marina. If you're in the audience right now and you're listening, this is going to be great. If it's possible, if you can tag anybody or if you can just let people know that, you know, this is what we're talking about. This is going to be a cool subject to, you know, get people to listen to. So if you do know anybody who you think would be interested in this, just please reach out to them and bring them into the audience.
Yeah, all exactly. Right, more the merrier. The more questions
more the merrier.
Yeah. All right. So let me kind of jump in here. First of all, can you see the slide that I'm sharing currently?
I can.
Okay, cool. All right. So basically the big five as far as PPC mistakes that I see. And what's funny about this, or not so much funny, depending on how you look at it. So some of these mistakes are my own doing. In other words, because of what I've been teaching over the last 5 or 6 years, there's a number of practices that have been perpetuated and continued, and some of those have aged. Some of them have aged well, and some have aged, you know, aged better, and some of them have aged badly. Now, what's interesting is I'm seeing some new competition that's available. And I'll go into that in actually one of these here, but I guess kind of want to just preface and say it's like these are not simply just a standard one. These are like some of these I literally probably caused myself because I've been teaching some of the same principles over the years, and some of those principles have been picked up by enough of the seller community that too many people are using them. And I'll get into specifics on what that means. But that's a teaser for later, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Let me see if I can get the, okay. So I already went through me, so don't care. Mistake number one is not using all ad types. There's so many of you, so many brands that I speak with on a daily basis, that have access to all the ad types because they are brand registered, and yet they're only using maybe 15 to 20% of the ad types available. Now, when I say ad types, I'm talking about things like sponsored product ads, specifically things like automatic campaigns, keyword targeting, product targeting, category targeting. And just to confirm, Norm, my slides are changing. It's showing available ad types now, correct?
Yes.
Cool. Okay. I had that on a workshop I was doing once where I was speaking for 20 minutes and going through a dozen slides, and they're like, you know, you're still on the cover page, right? I'm like, no. So yeah, just kind of, you know, for the audio side of the folks who are listening in here. So the available ad types, the four primary ones, you got sponsored product ads, sponsored brand ads, and sponsored display ads. And then also I'm going to add on Amazon's second ad platform, which of course is demand side platform. That's more of kind of like their enterprise advertising solution, typically for larger brands. Mm-hmm. Now for within sponsored product ads, we typically set up campaigns that are automatic targeting, you know, basically the automatic ads, keyword targeting ads, where you're basically running ads against search terms that shoppers are using. And then, of course, we will add on things as far as where we're targeting competitor ads, basically have our ad show up on competitor product listings. It can go so far as you can both be offense and defense. The next slide, I actually just say offense, defense versus, billboard. No, I'll mention what that is. But you can have both an offensive and a defensive, as well as a billboard, or kind of a speculative ad strategy involved in each one of these. From the product and category standpoint, that's primarily where you're running your product. You're basically showing your ad on other people's product listings, not simply just the search results, for instance. Sponsored product ads, of course, is the most popular. It's been around the longest. Everybody's got access to it that has who has a professional seller account. And so it is become the most competitive also. So it is, what that translates to is the most expensive, right? The highest cost per click. This is where most brands, like 80% of brands selling on Amazon, this is currently all that they're, those are their advertising. This is what they're primarily using, is just sponsored product ads. They're not really using sponsored brand ads. They're not using sponsored display ads. And in most cases, they're not running product or category ads, let alone things like sponsored brand video ads, which requires a little bit more extra work, as well as any of the custom content or custom creative kind of ad types. The rule of thumb that I always mention to people is, if it's difficult or you think it's difficult to set up, that is a barrier to your competitors. So if you overcome that, if you force through the initial gut reaction of like, I don't feel like setting these up, you're going to get a competitive advantage if you push through that and you actually introduce and start testing additional ad types that most of the competitors in your product niche are not doing. So the biggest mistake is being lazy, right? Not really going in there and turning on and testing some of the additional ad types. I want to make sure that you're running automatic campaigns, that you're running keyword targeting campaigns, which most people are. but also make sure that you're testing things like product targeting ads. Now, I list category targeting ads, but I will throw in a little bit of a kind of a filter, if you will, is I would typically only use the category targeting ads because those are a little bit less less effective than some of the other ad types. With category targeting ads, specifically select the ability to show your ads for your Prime eligible product on product listings that are non-Prime. In other words, you are running your ads where a competitor is weak in the sense that, oh, this may take you a few days to ship to you. No, I want it now. Consider most of the audience has been trained. Most of the shoppers on Amazon have been trained for instant gratification. They want it now. They want it Prime. They, you know, there's a, I don't know, Norm, if you've seen that video out there, that's a spoof video of Amazon's delivery program, Amazon Yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but
I'm basically part of that. Yeah. No.
not 2 days, not 1 day, not, you know, same day. It's like, no, you're going to get it yesterday. It's like, why did I get this product? Well, you ordered it tomorrow. So yeah, it's kind of a funny thing, is the instant gratification to an extreme, right? Now, so that's kind of the first mistake, is simply just not using the ad types that Amazon has rolled out over the past 2 years now. Now, they continue to add on new features, new targeting options to things like the sponsored display, the remarketing ads, and the retargeting ads. Those are things that they're continuing to increase and increase increase the targeting and increase the abilities that you have to kind of refine your audience. There's a lot of things that you could go into. I'm not even talking about things like ad placement or bidding, you know, campaign bidding strategies. All of those, you know, have their own set of requirements, but those aren't the biggest mistakes. The biggest mistake that I see, number one, is simply just not using available ad types. And when you've got competitors who are running things like product targeting ads on your listing, and you're not even defending your listing, let alone targeting others, you're basically just leaving the door wide open for competitors to come in and steal your customer from you. So
Brian, can I interrupt you for a sec? When you're talking about defending your listing, you're just talking about Amazon ads or just marketing your own brand, right?
It is. Yeah. You're basically cross marketing your other products. Now, there's some nuances of this. It's not as simple as, oh, I'm going to advertise the product that I'm on, the one product that I sell, I'm going to advertise on my own product listing, my own product, the same product. Doesn't work that way. Nor does it work with a child variation as well. So it does have to be separate products. Let's say you've got 10 different products. Let's assume that they're not just child variations. You can run ads and cross market those so that product A is running a campaign, an ad campaign for product B. Vice versa, right? And product C and product D, you know, however many you've got. It's definitely going to work better for you if you've got multiple products and they're not simply just child variations, right? So yes, it is basically where if you look at your product detail page, where you see the ads that wrap around, especially the top three ads that show up basically above the fold on your product detail page. I don't have an image of a product detail page up here, but if you picture your product detail page, you basically pull up your own product page right now. There is an ad that you can have that's above your product. There's one that is right directly below, and this is on a desktop view. There's one directly below your bullet points, and there's one below the add to cart button. Those are the big three as far as likely to steal your customer away from you that just got to your page. And so you want to make sure that you own all of those three for sure. Now, there's plenty of other ad types. There's all the sponsored products related to this item, strips that happen. There's usually a couple of those, maybe a couple of brand ads that run below into them, basically in your product description area and basically below the top of your product listing. Those are less critical because you've only got about 20% of the shoppers who will actually get down to those and see those other ads. And there's plenty of hacks, if you will, that I've taught as far as how to suppress some of those. I don't recommend, I've been seeing quite a bit on LinkedIn where somebody was really, you know, beating their chest saying, it's like, hey, look how awesome we are with our ad defense strategy. And they owned every single sponsored products related to this item was one of their own products. Like that's awesome, except that's, I know that's expensive. I can prove it, you know, it's expensive. And so I don't recommend that you have to own, defend your own ad space 100%. Maybe, you know, 20%, maybe 50% if you want to be aggressive. Definitely not 100%, unnecessary. Primarily because it gets really expensive to do that. But you do want to provide some kind of resistance from a competitor simply just waltzing in free of charge, running their ads on your product listing, and potentially giving, you know, having multiple opportunities to steal your customer away from you. Because shoppers get distracted, shiny objects, right? You don't give them that. If you have multiple products that are not child variations, cross market through product targeting ads, sponsored ads on your own listings.
Yeah, so before we get to the next slide, I love the idea about barrier to entry, because I believe you're absolutely right. If it's going to be a little bit tough, you're going to knock probably 80% of your competitors away. There's not going to be very many people that are going to do it. The other thing I was going to ask you is Amazon's really done a much better job with their own training now. So you'll start to see, oh, we have webinars on, you know, different advertising strategies. Yeah. Do you recommend people going and signing up for these, you know, 1 hour webinars that they have? Or going to their seller university and checking it out?
No, I mean, I absolutely do. I mean, I think there's a lot more advanced information that's out there. I know because I produce it. But I think it certainly if yourself or you got a VA, especially if you've got somebody, you know, an employee or an assistant that needs to learn these things, man, definitely throw them at university. Throw them at some of these webinars. They're going to keep in mind is that Amazon is generally going to teach you to spend more money to get higher visibility, which may be conflicting to what you actually want. I know certainly for our agency clients, what they want is they want growth and profitability, as in the profitability has to be there, but we also want growth and increased market share. That's obviously what we bring to them. But Amazon, in their instruction, as well as their own advertising services they provide, is they're going to be more of the billboard on the highway, where it's like, we're going to spend your money, but we can't really measure to see whether or not it's going to actually provide you any value. But hey, look, your billboard's on every single highway around the country. It's like, that's great. That's just expensive, you know? So I think it's great information. I think I agree with you on that, is that they've definitely stepped it up. I still will not listen to seller support advice as far as what's wrong with my ad campaigns. Because I just saw something this morning where it's like, oh man, it's like quit telling people that. It's like, it's wrong. You know, so seller support training it's still a far cry from what is currently working and what, you know, how to actually resolve challenges when it comes to advertising. But some of the things like university, it's rudimentary. You know, we've got our entire staff within Canopy Management is certified, but honestly, it was pretty easy for us. But that's also because we have our own internal training program, you know, with our own staff. And so they kind of walk in and say, oh, okay, this is kind of a no-brainer. So I would say, for depending on what level you're at, or if you, more important, like if you have staff you're handing things off to, or a VA, for instance, that would be a great way to kind of get them familiar with the terminology and the concepts of advertising on Amazon. It's a great starting point for sure.
And look, if I can get certified, anybody can get certified. I'm an old guy. Oh, by the way, Brian, look who's here. Connie's here.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you?
It's time for coffee.
Coffee. I'm the coffee girl. This is my shtick here. Coffee.
Thank you so much.
Cool.
All right. Sorry. Just had to grab my coffee.
No, I get that. Yeah, that's like, yeah, caffeine for sure. Yes. Okay. So, yeah, definitely agree with you as far as like, you know, some of the additional training, soak up whatever training you can, just make sure that it's current. you know, and then use a good, I'll actually touch on that in a little bit as far as when to go against the grain of what everybody's teaching, including me. I had mentioned on the last slide, I was talking about the different ad types. And again, most brands, most of your competitors in your product niche are probably only using sponsored product ads. And they're probably only using automatic and keyword ads, let alone all these other ones. So we've identified there's over 30 different ad placements on Amazon. Most people think it's like, oh, there's five or six. No, there's like over 30. And most of your competitors are probably only using, you know, maybe five or six of those ad targeting at best. It's probably less than that. And so take advantage of that. You know, all you have to do is just do a little, you don't have to do everything. You just have to do a little bit more than what your competitors are doing within your product niche to have a significant competitive advantage. And the way that you can measure that is if you look at the total sales volume, whatever tool you want to use to look at the total sales volume for your product niche and see, you know, let's say it's got $1 million in sales in a year, for instance, and it's been consistent, but your sales are flat or going down relative to the total sales that are occurring within that product niche. That's probably a pretty good signal that you're getting eaten alive, death by a thousand cuts, but you're getting eaten alive by competitors who are simply just doing a little bit more than you and most likely starting out with some of the ads. Now, I'll show you here some of the things that I think are even more important than advertising, but they contribute to the advertising, but simply just covering the basics here as far as like add on and start testing some additional ad types. Make sure you have both an offense and defensive strategy with your direct competitors. And then the billboard strategy is more about getting your ads to run on products that are related in a sense that they're related to your target audience, but maybe not related to your product. In other words, you're getting your ad in front of your target audience when they're not looking for your product. That requires a little bit more research and a little bit more tuning of your ads, but I can guarantee you anything that requires a little bit more work, your competitors are probably not doing it, which means you should be doing it.
You know, Brian, there is a 31st advertising strategy, and people don't really think of it as this. I don't think we've ever talked about it, but it's not in the back end. It's getting people to get frequently bought together. And sometimes all that is just getting somebody or get a couple of people to buy the competitor's product. And all of a sudden that free block of real estate, now you're frequently bought together. So, you know, that all those that you were just talking about, that's something that a lot of people don't realize, that they can get a lot of extra sales just by going out and buying their competitor's product or getting a couple people to.
That is a great point. Actually, it fits right into some of the other things that we're going to talk about here, and that is standing out from the competition, differentiating your product, which we call product positioning. A lot of times, you think about a shopper that is distracted. They're easily distracted by shiny objects. They will easily bounce off your product detail page if they run into anything that introduces confusion or doubt. And so that's kind of where you want to go through and make sure that you're not the only set of eyes looking at your product detail page. Have a variety of people go through and essentially look for anything in your product detail page content, title, bullet points, images, description, anything that is that is confusing or kind of conflicts or contradicts other information, or is just missing, just flat out missing. Sometimes we as product sellers, we're a little too close to the fire. We've been working so much with manufacturers and suppliers that we're too familiar with the product, and so we know the industry terminology, and we know what our competitors are using as far as terminology. And a lot of times we mimic that, thinking it's like, oh, I'll come back, I'll just kind of copy their listing, but then I'm going to come back, I'm going to change it, and then we never do. Huge mistake there, right? But knowing that, certainly I agree with you on that, is that look at every single image that is on your product detail page and say, can I own that? And is that going to distract my shopper and potentially lead them down a path away from my product or my brand? And I think that's a perfect one right there, is the frequently bought together. It may introduce somebody else's product onto your product detail page, but on the same side, it doesn't take that many, one or two, just to, for your product to start showing up on their product detail page right below their main image, which is a great tactic. All right. How are we doing on time? Like, in other words, should I be speeding?
Yeah, we got time if you got time.
Okay, cool. So some of these, I've got some additional slides. Some of these, I just have the cover slide intentionally to keep it succinct. So mistake number two is the no WIFM in title. So for those of you who are not familiar with that acronym, it's what's in it for me. So many brands build their products on Amazon based off of training that they may have gotten from Amazon training course from, 5 years ago or even a couple years ago. And the common practice, the popular practice, is to put it in, basically embed keywords and into the title and the content that is designed for the search engine of Amazon in order to show your listing and have relevance, right? Frankly, in my opinion, Amazon's AI is smart enough now. It does not need your help in understanding what your product is or who your product is for and how it's relevant to a shopper. Now, what that means is that I highly recommend that you modify your title and your bullet points, primarily, possibly your images, in order to speak directly to the shopper and answer the question throughout, what's in it for me if I buy your product from your brand? Because frankly, the shopper doesn't care about your brand, doesn't care about your product. And what they care about is what's the benefit to me? What's in it for me? So one of the things I teach on that is answer the question of what's in it for me if I buy your product and try to highlight in your title, in your bullet points, lead with what's the benefit to me as the buyer, and then subsequently support that with the features that make it stand out as far as that support that benefit. Way too many brands. I even talked to brand owners and I'm going to say, well, I'm the one who created this product. Everybody else copied me. It's like, great, you're the innovator in your space. It's time to pivot. It's time to step away, take the road less traveled, if you will, step away from what everybody else is doing with their product listing, because if they copied you, you now look exactly like all of them, which is exactly what you don't want to be. You want to stand out from the competition. So start with answering the question, what's in it for me, in your title and your bullet points. Now, some quick notes on this for those of you who are reviewing the slides who are not on audio only. What's in it for me can include identifying who's your target audience, what are they looking for, and what can you offer with your product that sets your product apart. Now, you have to do that within like one or two words, like so unbelievably succinct. You can't be going into sentences and paragraphs in order to explain it. You've got to boil it down to what's in it for me. And usually when it comes to a benefit statement, the three whys, I think we've talked about that in the past, but the three whys is simply saying like, okay, why should I buy your product? Well, okay, you're going to buy your product, or why am I buying your product? I'm buying your product because I want, what's an example of it I'm thinking of here? A fire extinguisher. Okay. So I'm going to buy your fire extinguisher because I want to put out fires. Okay. But why? Why do you want to put out fires? Well, because I don't want to lose all my stuff. I want to keep all my stuff. Okay. So why do you not want to lose all your stuff? It's like, well, I value the things that I have here. Okay. Well, you can subsequently go down the chain here and get finally to something that is emotional to a shopper that says, it's like, I don't want to lose all that I built. This provides me security. I don't want to lose everything that I have if I can simply just put out a fire that starts accidentally because I have a fire extinguisher on hand, right? So continue to ask yourself as far as, the chain of whys until you get to the point where you understand what's the benefit, the emotional value to me if I buy your product. Some of you may say, it's like, well, my product's not conducive to that. It doesn't make sense. Try it. Try it and force yourself to ask the question, or have somebody else, which is even worse, to ask you the question. Have a spouse, for instance, say, it's like, okay, so why do people buy your product? Okay, why? It gets annoying, but at the same time, you get down to the core of the emotional trigger that leads to the sale and increases your conversion rate. If you can express that in a couple of words, in your title, in your bullet points, and then support that with features, you're going to nail the conversion. Your conversion rates are going to go up. This is something we do every single day on our creative services team, is we look to how do we increase the conversion rate of a product listing by grabbing the person, the shopper's attention, showing them right up front what the benefit is to them, not even trying to copy you like, oh, I've got a 15 by 20 sized object here. Most shoppers, they don't care about the specific the specifications, the features. What they care is, why am I buying this? That's what's going to catch their attention, because it's going to stand out to them as odd terminology among a sea of specification-driven product titles and bullet points and images.
So, Brian, one of the things that is refreshing, and I know just for me, I shop all the time on Amazon, but sellers, a lot of sellers, write books. They write books in their images. They write books in their title, and they write books in their bullets. And it's really a waste of space, and people will move on. Like if I look at an image and I see a bullet point written in the image, like I'll just click off of it. I'd rather see, you know, one word or two word points. So it could be about the feature. It could be about the benefit. It could be about the ingredients. It could be how to apply the ingredients. And then, you know, a simple enjoy at the end of it, you know, pump right into hand, wash into skin, da 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 da, enjoy. Very simple, very, you know, and so, same with the bullets. Yeah. I mean, it's so refreshing.
Yeah. It almost is, it's like, you know, the classic, you know, amazing selling machine, like finish up your description with, you know, add to cart now, you know, kind of statements. Okay. If you still have that in your product listing, good God, move on. You know, that has been seen so many times by shoppers that they don't even see it anymore. What they call banner blindness. I love what you're saying on that one, Norm, is finish up with something compelling. It's like, now that you own it, you know, make the assumption that they bought the product. Now that you own it, enjoy it. You know, it's like live your life. You know, it's like everything's perfect now that you own my product. One of the things that you can certainly do is the goal on this is, yes, you do want to talk to the shopper. You want to state what the benefits are. But the one or two words that you're really trying to go for, and those one or two words should be in the first 80 characters of your title. And the reason for that, not to say that your title should be 80 characters long. You can have it as long as you want, my opinion. But the first 80 characters is going to ensure that you're showing up across cross-platform. In other words, on a mobile device, you know, a smartphone, whatever, that your title is actually going to be seen. And so you want to have one or two words that are compelling, that mention a benefit statement of some kind of benefit to the shopper, and is not terminology, not words that any other competitor is using. Make it stand out. The funnier it sounds, the more odd that it stands out, the more likely you're going to catch the eye of a shopper who's just scrolling down a sea of listings, and they catch a word and they go, wait, what? That's exactly what you're going for, because you got them to stop, look at your product title, and then it begs a little bit of a curiosity. Now, I don't recommend clickbait, for those of you familiar with terms as far as tricking the shopper. Don't trick the shopper. Just say, just try to use, this is not an easy task, but it is a task you must do in 2021, because your competitors if you look at your main search results, and most of your competitors, most of them pretty much look all the same. Right. And so your listing doesn't stand out from theirs. It's time for you to pivot and for you to introduce changes that are going to talk to the shopper, demonstrate the benefit. They're going to trust your product and your brand a lot more when you're actually speaking in their language of what is this actually going to do for you? Not just, hey, it weighs 6.5 pounds and you figure out what to do with it from there. No. Yeah. Tell them. Let's see here. If there's anything else, I can actually probably skip over these and keep moving on here. I've got some additional examples on here. I talk about as far as one of the things when I, because periodically I'll get somebody where somebody says, look, I sell a product and it is exactly like 10 of my competitors. It's the exact same product. It probably comes from the same manufacturer. It's the same color. It's the same design. We're all using basically the same image. There's nothing different or unique or compelling about my product compared to those competitors. And my product is $10 more expensive. It's a common problem that I help people solve. So what I do, one of the questions that I have them do is like, today, go to your manufacturer, ask them two questions. One is, what step in the manufacturing process is the, it takes the most amount of time? You can translate that in your benefits and unique selling proposition to where do we spend more care in creating this product for you? Doesn't matter if all your competitors do the same thing, have the exact same process, the same amount of time, the same amount of cost of the manufacturing process. They're not telling the audience about it, right? And you can. You can spin it in a way that says, we spend extra time on you know, doing this particular process in the manufacturing because it makes the plastics in the drink cups stick together and make it more durable over time. I don't know, whatever that what the result of that is. There's a reason why it takes longer, right? So the first question is, what step in the manufacturing process takes the most amount of time? And then second, what step in the manufacturing process is the most expensive? So that's going to say it's like what requires extra time and care. And then second is what costs more money as far as materials. Again, your competitors are probably not highlighting that to their shoppers to note that, hey, you know what? Extra time and money are actually spent here. Some of you have even done upgrades and spend a little bit more money on something and you're just not telling your audience, which is a huge mistake. Simply just going in and explaining to people just in a brief sentence, maybe in a video, but you know, in as brief as you can, that you've got this extra quality to your product because of something that takes longer or is more expensive, is enough to differentiate from most of your competitors today, right? Who haven't gotten up to that level of sophistication of actually speaking to their target audience.
So there might be a couple of people that are thinking, oh, this has nothing to do with PPC, but this has everything to do with PPC.
It absolutely does.
You can drive people back to search. So we talk about this with rebates and press release. You can drive traffic to the main search page, but you can't get people to click on your listing. And if your listing doesn't, if it sucks, you're just not going to get the conversion. That's where we talk a lot on the podcast about the Brady Bunch effect. One other thing I wanted to add, Brian, you were talking about, you know, knowing your audience, knowing what they wanted. One of the ways that you can easily do this, if you don't have VAs or if you don't have a staff that can, you know, help answer that question, you can go to PicFu. You can go to Usability Hub and ask the audience that specific question, and you'll get the answer of what they think the product features are, what it can do, how it can sell. You just have to ask the questions to them, and you'll get your focus group answer very inexpensively and very quickly within minutes.
I built a process very similar. I built a process with my team where we basically. It's designed to essentially identify, you know, in a search result for, like, say, my most competitive, you know, the search term that I'm going after in the search result, which product listings, mine or my competitors, stand out and why. So identifying, like, what catches the attention of my eye as a shopper. The second thing is, if I only get to see your product detail page for 5 seconds, what do I remember in that 5 seconds? Right? That's something you can do with your friends and family and just say, okay, look at this for 5 seconds. Okay, stop. Okay, tell me what you remember. That can be eye-opening for you as a product developer. But one of the processes that I created for our agency team is we actually will go out and post these kind of jobs to like micro workers or AMZ, you know, MTurk, you know, for instance, some of these micro worker sites, and we'll get 100 people you know, and say, it's like, hey, give us your opinion on this. And so we get a much bigger audience who says, okay, what's your feedback of a specific test as far as which product stands out, so that you know, like, oh, my product wasn't even picked, you know, in the top 10 as far as standing out. That's a problem. And then second is nobody remembers in 5 seconds, nobody remembers anything about what I'm trying to say in my product title or my main image. That's a problem. You know, so it's right. Kind of a gut check, if you will, is that when you ask a whole bunch of people and they can't tell you, you know, you got a problem.
Hey, before we get to number three, I just noticed a few times, and I just noticed the last one comment come in. I'm going to put you against the wall right now. Talk about this before you came on to the podcast.
Okay.
Do you have a giveaway today? Sorry, Brian. I'll pay for the bloody giveaway. I don't want to put you on the spot, but anyways, do you have a giveaway that we can do at the end of the podcast?
Okay, so for everybody who's wanting to know that question, since Norm offered to pay for it, so I can give you my $2,500 per hour of coaching.
Well, it's coming out of Kelsey's pay because he didn't do it.
Tell you what. So let me go ahead and do this. Normally what I do is I do like, say, one like half hour session. Let me give away. Do you know how many people who's on right now?
Oh, there's quite a few.
Okay.
We got 35 people on.
35. All right. So let me do this. I'm going to get more and more generous as this thing goes on. But let me give away two of the half hour coaching sessions, where basically you and I get on a call one-on-one and we go through and we're not going to get through everything, obviously, because there's a lot, both advertising and product positioning. I can tell you, based off of what I'm talking about today, the reason I'm spending so much time when it comes to 5 PPC mistakes is it's focusing on copy as far as listing differentiation, is because that's going to have the biggest impact. There's so many sellers who are asking questions up in Facebook groups and stuff, saying, it's like, hey, what's the advanced PPC strategy of the week? You know, and it's like, you don't need all that. You need to improve your product. Your product sucks. You know, your product positioning sucks. Get that right, your conversion rates are going to go up, your sales are going to go up, your engagement goes up, your profitability goes up, and your advertising all of a sudden starts working for you as opposed to working against you. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm spending so much time on the 5 PPC mistakes, is you got some homework to do before you actually run your ads. Ads are not going to solve everything, which I know is probably counter to what I've taught in the past. I see this so much that I strongly believe in it. That's one of the reasons why I'm so heavy on, you need to fix your product and its visibility and its positioning so that your advertising can work.
Okay. So to enter into this, I'm going to, I just saw what Alan wrote. Only me. So hashtag only me, and you'll be entered into the draw. It's pretty good. It's a $1,200, basically a $1,200 prize for two people. So that's awesome, Brian. Thank you very much.
I was kidding. I don't actually charge $2,500 an hour. It's much, much more than that. I'm kidding. No, it does have a high value. It certainly will. Certainly over the lifetime of your product, just in this year alone. I think you're going to be very happy with the result.
So. Hey, Michelle, you know Michelle from Greece. She's on, by the way. I just noticed her pop up. Let's get back to it.
Man, I miss Greece.
Yeah, man. Oh, man. We had a blast. Awesome. Costa Rica wasn't bad either.
No, exactly.
All right. So mistake number three.
Yeah. Copying competitors' content. So this is kind of like, again, this is back on your listing, not on your PPC, but primarily because you're still trying to make sure that you are standing out from your competitors. Whether you're running ads or you've got an organic listing that shows up, if your listing does not stand out from your competitors, so that your the content within your listing doesn't speak to the shopper. And this is something I went over a little bit earlier as far as quite a bit, probably a little too much maybe, but where your content listing, in other words, let's say your features, your free feature bullets, for instance, As many of you know, Amazon is coming down as far as penalizing those listings that are using all caps in the feature. Yep. So hopefully you've already updated that. So you saw you made a change to your product detail page, to your feature bullets. You made a change and sure enough, nothing happened. No penalties, right? It just you simply just modified it from all caps to maybe first caps, right? Now I would recommend that you go back and make sure that kind of exactly what I was saying before is you are leading with benefits with your most compelling benefit right on top, and then supporting that with brief features. Don't like Norm said, like don't write a book. You know, you're not trying to fill up every single character space. The more succinct that your content is, the more likely they'll actually read it. Okay. So copying competitors' content is, if you've done that in the past, or even worse, if they've done it to you, now's the time for you to pivot. Now's the time for you to start talking to the shopper. Ideally, you can do some split testing. The split testing options as far as the content experiments that you can do in Amazon now are included title experiments, you know, basically the A-B split testing. You can also do that with A-plus content if you have those. Both of those have a certain minimum traffic requirements, but I definitely recommend if you're not running any kind of, say, title or A-plus content experiments within Seller Central, that you start doing that on some of your top moving products. Subtle changes though, when you can. Now, usually when I'm going through and we're doing basically like a listing optimization, we'll rewrite, you know, pretty much everything, title, bullet points, everything. So it's a big effort and a big change. And then you're measuring and say, okay, what increase in conversion rate occurred over the last, you know, few weeks, for instance. And you want to do it across a few weeks to observe that, because you're going to have subtle variations like Martin Luther King Day, you know, or, you know, inauguration, or these kinds of things. Anything that distracts a shopper is going to skew the results. So you want to try to have multi-week comparison. The kind of example on this was the Clone Wars, as far as copying like main image, for instance. Actually, I think this is a slide for another one, but, essentially what this is saying is that if you were to look at this product, the search results here, you can see that there are, you know, you've got one product that just stands out that catches your eye, right? And that's most likely the one that has the angled shoe with the reverse, you know, with the, basically the sole sitting there. Because most of these are basically using the exact same image. And the two that probably catch your eye is the one that's facing the opposite direction as everybody else. You may or may not notice that one. And the one that it has a completely different angle to it. Those are examples of, you can do something subtle with your images. I just went through this exercise this week with a partner and with a client, actually. And they completely just revolutionized as far as their main image. And it definitely increased the number of sessions they got, and it increased the number of the conversion rate. It's actually, they've been developing this across the last 3 weeks. So that's kind of where we have some of the numbers there. But subtle changes, like if everybody in your search, in the search results in your product niche have basically the same thing, go opposite. One of the things that I commonly see is brands in the main image, they try to say, it's like, well, this is a kit and let's say it's a hammock, for instance, that I'm selling, but it has all these other accessories. It's got a bag, it's got a cleaning rag, it's got hooks, it's got ropes, and they put it all into the same image, and their main image just looks like just bleh, you know, I'm going to throw everything into the main image, and all the other competitors they're all throwing it into the main image, and they're just trying to pack everything. They're packing too much into the main image. And I will bet that if you're in that situation, if you went the exact opposite of what all your competition is, or most of your competition is doing, and just had something stark where it was just like one object and didn't have all this other stuff on the main image, you're going to get your sessions and your click-through is going to increase quite a bit, because people are going to actually see your listing as opposed to just scrolling right past it.
Now, I see there's a question from Milos. And he said his listing was closed. My new listing contains capital letters. Yeah, I think I would get rid of those capital letters. We've been seeing not only suppression, but more suspension. People don't know what's happening, and they have to find it out the hard way, basically. And it could take a day, it could take a week, it could take, I've heard 2 weeks because people didn't know that that was the problem. But yeah, putting capital letters in your bullets right now is taboo. The right. other thing, I don't know if you've heard about this, but the other thing to check is your HTML. If you have HTML in your product description, they're also suspending or suppressing listings for that. So those might be the two things why you were closed.
Yeah, Amazon has gotten a lot better with their automated police. and yes, there's always going to be false positives, and don't ever think that things are going to be fair where you were caught, but your competitor wasn't. Yeah, that's Amazon. So mistake number three and number four are primarily focused in on, you know, number three, of course, was not having your product detail page, your product content, talking to the shopper with leading with benefits. Number four was actually the screenshot that I was showing here. And that is where your image looks just like pretty much like everybody else's. You've got to do something different with your main image in order for it to stand out. That doesn't necessarily mean that you are violating terms of service as far as, but if you can do something as simple as either reducing the amount of items in the listing or changing the angle of the product, that oftentimes will make all the difference as far as being able to catch the eye of the shopper, especially in product niches where everything is just a sea of same. You don't want to be just, you do not want to blend in when it comes to search results, right? Last one is actually, I'm going to jump back. Now I've been talking, I kind of started with the advertising. I'm going to finish with the advertising. But the middle of that is intentionally, you've got to solve your product problems and your conversion rate problems and your engagement problems first, because that is going to have the biggest impact in your advertising profitability and visibility. Okay. Mistake number five is bidding only aggressively. This is what I was talking about in the beginning, where I said, this is my own doing, because I was prolific enough as far as to teach the teachers who are now teaching over the years. And so a lot of the same information that that I had originally taught has been perpetuated and repeated and is still being taught today. And a lot of that is still quite valid. It's not that. It's just a case of the platform continues to evolve. You got to continue to learn as far as what is Amazon introducing each year, as far as new ad types, what strategies are working more or less. But very similar to what I was talking about as far as like taking the road less traveled, doing the opposite of what everybody else is doing with your product detail and your product, your product image and your product detail, the same thing applies to your advertising. If everybody, mistake number one was, if everybody is primarily just using sponsored product, automatic and keyword ads, go different and introduce the other ad types. Be the one in your product niche that experiments with other ad types, and your market share will start increasing. You'll start taking over. You start dominating. What we call, like to call in our agency, we say we make category kings and queens by dominating a product niche. Now, mistake number five, similar thing. And this is something that I haven't spoke much about. And so you may have heard this here first, but this is something that internally we've been seeing that is working really well over the last few months. Since about Prime Day, we started seeing this working really well. And that is keyword match type, specifically running keyword bids on broad match keywords. Now, broad match keywords for many of you is pretty much blasphemy when it comes to the commonly taught, you need to be targeting exact match keywords. I've always gone against that grain and said, no, you need to be testing all the match types. And that's one of the reasons why I found this. This hack here is working great, especially in competitive niches, is so many brands have learned this over the years of like, oh, well, we're supposed to be targeting exact match. That's how you get the higher conversions. That's what you do. And they're just kind of like, repeating what all the authors and gurus have been saying over the years. But what we've found over the last, few months now is in competitive niches, when it starts getting really expensive, when your CPC is just like brutally expensive on your exact and phrase match keywords, and you've been missing on broad match, good chance is that most of your competitors are also not doing broad match keyword targeting. Introduce broad match keyword targeting. Start with your top ones. Now, you're going to bid a little bit less than maybe your exact and phrase match, right? We still assume that those are going to have the highest placement. But if you go back in, if you've been ignoring broad match on your keywords, and this applies to both, this primarily applies to, like, say, sponsored product ads. If you apply it to sponsored brand ads, make sure you use broad match modifiers. You can Google that one. Because sponsored brand ads actually have the broad match modifiers, which sponsored product ads do not. But if you've been reliant on and so hyper-focused on specific match types like exact match or even phrase match, go back, add in some broad match on some of your top terms and see what kind of sales increase, especially if you're in a competitive niche where your CPCs are high. That has worked phenomenally well, and my team is probably going to be cursing me for, like, no, don't tell people that.
And you are going 100%, 100% against the grain, right? Where are you going to hear doing that? Everybody else is saying the exact opposite.
Yeah, exactly.
That is gold. That's cool.
Your biggest thing is, if it wasn't already obvious here, is the biggest way for you to improve your advertising is to go against the grain of what everybody else is doing.
Yep. All right. And we do have a couple of questions here too. Do we want to take them now?
Of course.
All right. Kelsey.
Okay. Just let me fix the screen. Let's see, from Facebook user. This is from Matthew. What do you think of BMM broad match modified? Any tips on its use?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely need to use them. So sponsored brand ads, they have in the keyword targeting, they have broad match, phrase match, and exact match, right? But they also have introduced a broad match modifier probably about a year and a half ago, maybe. Broad match modifiers are something you typically see on, like, say, Google ad platform. And those are not just for broad match. But essentially what it does, it by default, a broad match keyword in sponsored brand ads gives Amazon the flexibility to look at one specific word and say, yeah, that's close enough as far as relevance. It's very liberal as far as the relevance match that it does. And so you could have something like, say, electronic dartboard, and it will literally show your ad when somebody's searching for game room toys. You know, it's like, okay, I didn't actually target game room toys. It's like, yeah, but we know that the people who are looking for, it's almost like an automatic campaign kind of modification. So broad match modifier is essentially using things like the plus character, the plus symbol in front of each word to say, this word is specifically required here. You need to pay closer attention to this. And so if you do broad match in sponsored brand ads, then you're going to want to add in sponsored brand ads, you're going to want to add in the plus in front of each word if you intend it for it to be specific. Otherwise, Amazon, you're basically giving Amazon a very open range as far as what it matches to. Now, if you're bidding low enough, that can be beneficial, right? That's one of the things that I kind of didn't mention on the number five is there was actually a second thing on that, and I totally forgot about it until I got reminded now, and that is, there's plenty of strategies that I teach, they're freely available, you know, of course, up in my Facebook group and my page, as far as ad strategy goes. One of the ones that I've been, you know, hammering this year is my gold panning strategy. And that's essentially, the short version of that is those are low bid campaigns, but across all ad types, right? All targeting, all ad types, low bid, and just have them run in the background. Those are great because what they do is you're not going to launch with a gold panning campaign, but what you do is you end up running things like automatic campaigns or just any kind of a low bid campaign is almost kind of a safety net that picks up a sale now and then. Usually when competitors stumble or when their ads aren't running or, you know, there's many situations where it can occur, but then you get your ad shows, you get the sale, and your ACOS is like single digit. That's one of the things that's just fantastic about that. So you kind of, you look at those ads and you just kind of laugh. It's like, okay, it's not bringing in a lot of sales compared to some of my other ones, but oh my gosh, the profitability on those is insane. So that was the other thing I was going to say for number five is, don't always go aggressive, you know, mm-hmm. So there's the broad match, keyword targeting, but there's also just have a collection of low bid. You know, people frequently ask, like, you know, do you let automatic campaigns continue to run? It's like, yeah, because you're not using them for keyword research like we used to teach 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Because the keyword research tools are a lot better these days. Use it as a catch-all with a low bid so that Amazon has the flexibility to show your product when competitors are failing to show in the specific ad type. Remember when I said 15 to 20% of the ad types are actually being used by competitors? Well, give Amazon a chance to show one of your ads in multiple locations at a dirt cheap cost per click.
All right, next question.
Okay, this is from Raja. How do you see the future of PPC? One, manual work only, two, 100% tools automation, or three, a combination of both? If it's a combination, what's the percentage?
Okay. That is something that definitely comes up. And Raja, I'm wondering if that's the same Raja, like the Raja. Yeah. who I think it is. He knows exactly what's going on as far as he's got some expertise in the PPC space as well. But yeah, it is actually, I do actually have a video up on my YouTube channel that actually talks specifically about this question because it is a common question. And that is when it comes to automation, the technology is not there yet. So in other words, there are some great tools out there that do some great things as far as automating some of the basic PPC tasks. And for some brands, it's appropriate. In other words, you could hand it off to somebody like, you know, like a Quartile or any of the AI platforms, and they will create 5,000 campaigns for your keywords. And for some of you, that'll work fantastic. Your sales will increase, your profitability, you know, your ACOS will be low. For others, we hear about, you know, that's usually where our human-centric agency, we get to clean up after some of the AI platforms on a regular basis, because sometimes it can go one direction or the other, you know, where it's like, okay, this is either a train wreck or it was fantastic. It's going to be product dependent, situation dependent. A lot of the full automation platforms, there's no such thing as a full automation, because the a lot of the more advanced platforms, they're fantastic, but in very specific ad types, and they're using very narrow ad strategies, and they're not really adapting to anything new that Amazon rolls out. They're not using all ad types. They're not looking for trends like what I was just talking about, like oh, everybody's using exact match, go broad match, and all of a sudden pick up all these keywords. Mostly because they don't have the level, they're primarily software developers, they don't have the level of expertise in order to stay current with what is changing on Amazon. And so, like I said, I know that there's some of you in the audience who are like going, well, it worked phenomenally well for me. Awesome. We have just as many where it was a train wreck. Now there's some in the middle where it is, because that's kind of like the I'm going to hand it off to somebody, to a software platform, and hopefully it knows what it's doing. And, you know, there's that class of software. There's also the software that simply just assists you with your own strategy, or maybe is suggestive as far as strategy. And it allows you to handle all the ad types, but is primarily based off of you or one of your staff operating on a regular basis and kind of guiding you. But it's primarily designed in order to assist you to move faster. So you're not spending, in other words, if you're spending more than, you know, if you're spending, you know, 8 to 10 hours a week on your ads, you're doing it wrong. I don't care how big you are, you're doing it wrong. There are way better techniques and technologies that you should be going faster on that. And so I know you want to be busy, but that's not a good use of your time. Your money is probably, your time is probably better spent somewhere else. But that's obviously why there's things like agencies like Canopy Management, that it is human centric. we use technology in order to speed up our processes, but we're also using just cutting edge strategies. And we have our own internal R&D team in order to research like everything that's working now, test theories, test new changes to Amazon. We usually get advanced notification. Norm, you're probably the same, where you've got contact within Amazon that you hear things coming down. It's like, oh, in 2 or 3 months, this thing's going to be rolling out. You're like, cool, I'm going to develop a strategy today so that when it finally rolls out, we're already live, we're able to use it right away. So that is kind of an advantage. Certainly the visibility of having a lot of different brands to look at, so where you see whole product niche or whole industry-wide trends that are occurring in advertising is also an advantage to an agency. The challenge on that, of course, agencies, especially human-centric agencies like Canopy, agencies tend to be very expensive, and so you usually need to be at a certain level of sales. At least 10,000 a month in sales, probably more likely 30,000 if you're wanting to do things like DSP type of advertising. So kind of scales up from there for when it makes sense. In the meantime, there's no way that I would recommend that somebody who's in their first year or doing less than 10,000 a month would be using any kind of full automation platform. You're just handing off, you're basically just saying like, I don't want to even acknowledge the problem. I'm going to pretend like it doesn't exist. I'm going to hand it off to somebody and just cross my fingers. Not a good business strategy. I understand focusing on your strengths. I highly recommend you focus on your strengths, but don't think that handing it off to something that claims to have full automation, you're actually going to get full automation. You're just going to get, it's going to work very fast on the very specific things that it's currently doing. And it may or may not work. It's, it's something you can test. So I now to kind of clarify, as far as Raj's question, do I think that at some point the AI will get to the point where it can do all ad types and it will get to the point? Yes, I absolutely do. The technology is advancing that fast enough. I know some of the software development that I do myself. I know how fast that we're moving and how we're using some of the AI technologies, not necessarily from a PPC management standpoint, but from things like the product differentiation and buyer intent analysis and some of these social signals that occur on and off Amazon. These are the kinds of things you're going to see advance as far as the next generation of platforms, and the technology will get there, but I would say that probably not in 2021. I would say probably 22, 23, we're going to start seeing ones that actually you can trust and say, okay, there is actually a specific track record and for my specific product niche, where I can be successful and actually hand it off and not have to learn anything. We're not there yet, but we will get there within the next couple of years.
Okay, great. And why don't we do this? We'll take two more questions and then we'll close it up for the day. Kels, can you?
Yeah, okay.
Another question here.
Let's see. What up-to-date online course or mastermind would you recommend for advanced PPC training?
Jeez, I don't know of any, Brian.
Well, usually the question, what's funny about that, I was kind of like joking about that earlier, is somebody says like, what's the current advanced PPC campaign? And I was a bit cheeky and I responded and say, it's like, do you have an advanced or do you have an advanced product? In other words, like, a highly converting, advanced, product. And they're kind of like, wait, what? What are you talking about? And I was being a little bit cheeky on that. But my primary reason of that is, don't think that advanced advertising, if you don't have a product that has decent conversion rates, your problem is not the advertising, it's the product. So make sure that you're acknowledging that you're taking care of your own backyard first before you start thinking that somebody else's solution or strategy is going to solve the problem for you. A bad product advertised well is still going to be expensive, right? Now, when it comes to resources. Norm, depending on how much you want me to kind of disclose, I was just going to mention the Facebook group.
You can go ahead. What we do throughout the podcast is we tell everybody we're not here to sell courses or anything like that, mm-hmm. but Brian's got a ton of information out there and I'm happy. We do not take any affiliate commissions, by the way, guys. So Brian, if you want to point people in the right direction, I've got no problems with that at all.
Right. But I do have to buy Norm dinner in Greece one of these days. So,
well, you got to fly me there first.
Fly me there, yes. as far as the first thing I would start out with is, if you're not already plugged into the Amazon PPC troubleshooting group on Facebook, you know, there's 21,000 of us in that group only talking about Amazon advertising. So it's a pretty good resource. I've got a list of resources in the welcome message that point to things like, I've got a 17-part free course. Basically, it's a PDF that you can download. There's a couple of different checklists for optimization. I can, you know, refer you to software. There's also, of course, the flagship course. The 6-week Sponsored Products Academy 3 is the current version of that particular course, and that includes advanced strategies. For those of you, of course, that are at the stage, I would highly recommend, as far as like wanting to consider outsourcing. My flagship agency, Canopy Management. You can go out to canopymanagement.com. Having basically an interview with my team over at Canopy Management, it doesn't cost you anything. In fact, they'll usually come back and say, yes, we can, or, you know, we can't help you. But here's the reasons why or why not. And here's what's wrong with your advertising. Not a bad deal, right? So, yeah. If you're considering outsourcing, then that is definitely a conversation you want to have, because there's no obligation or anything to it. So, but yeah, it's funny, like a lot of the course students that I get anymore, those that want or are in the process of starting their own agency or already have agencies, they're already considered experts in their field or their niche. And they're simply just like, okay, let me expand that out. Right. That's kind of normal in this industry, is to kind of cross-educate, you know, to stay current.
Yep. All right. So we've got one more question that's going to come in. However, before that question gets answered, just one more time, if you would like to get a free consultation with Brian, 30-minute consultation, to enter, you have to put hashtag only me.
Yes. And don't put your hashtags twice. I'll know. So just one time is fine. Don't worry, I'll get it. It's in the wheel already. So just
the wheel of Kelsey. Here we go. All right. Last question.
As well, I just want to mention that in our Facebook group, we just started a post yesterday about PPC recommendations. So if anyone has any great PPC recommendations, of course, we'll add Brian's too to the list. But you guys can post them there and share any knowledge you guys have. Okay, last question from Brad. How can we attract customers to look into our video? Can we mention the video discreetly in our title or bullet points?
Sorry, I was actually sending you an email on that one. Could you repeat the question for me?
How can we attract customers to look into our video? Can we mention the video discreetly in our title or bullet points?
I don't think that's actually necessary, Rod. The video kind of stands out by itself. Now, I know that some vendors have the ability to move their video up to the second image placement. Sometimes that shows up actually in mobile as well. Most shoppers are lazy enough that they want to see a video, and you can put, was it three videos, I think it is, currently into a product listing. I would use all three, frankly. I would have one that you lead with that is succinct, maybe 15 seconds long, that you can, that kind of, again, highlights the benefits of your product, doesn't go into too much detail, just gives them enough to say, you know, to reinforce, here's what's in it for me from the shopper. The second one I would probably do is something more like an unboxing or this product in use kind of video, so that people can really understand, okay, I understand. There's no confusion as far as like, oh, I take it out of the product. And it's not like, oh, I'm going to open up this box and here's what's in it, that kind of thing. It's more of a case of, okay, I can assemble it in 4 seconds and I can start using it, and then I can clean it like this, and then it's done. Keep it simple, but allow people to say, it's like, oh, that's a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. That kind of a second video. The third video would primarily be one that, again, succinctly, 15, 30 seconds long, maybe a minute if you want to go into it, is going to be more about telling about your brand story, some of the decisions you make as a brand owner. I probably wouldn't spend time on things like, oh, for everybody who buys a product, we give 5 cents to some organization. I probably wouldn't actually include that. But I would say, it's like, look, we founded this company on the principle of X. We make our decisions from sourcing and product quality inspection and extra expense because of Y. And this is the Z that it means to you, basically what it translates to you and to our community. It's more of showcasing how you as a brand owner are treating the audience through the brands and the products that you offer.
You know, I just saw something that Mark, Kelsey, bring that back up again.
So I guess, oh, sorry. So the answer to the question basically is you don't need to highlight it. People will automatically gravitate to your video anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. People are lazy. They just want to watch the video. Oh, and I do want to add to that, that you can, when you go and get the video production done to make it cheaper, you can just have it all done at one time and then cut it, edit it. So, you know, that makes it a lot cheaper. All right. So bring back Mark. So this is why we have, awesome, really an awesome community. You know, when like Mark could have entered and he just said, you know, with respect to everybody else, I won last time. Good luck. His conversion rate went up 2%. So that's awesome, Mark. And I just really appreciate you, you know, not going into the contest because you already won with Brian. So you're awesome. Thank you. All right. I think that wraps it up right now. Kelsey, let's see the wheel of Kelsey.
All right. I'll share my screen. Just a second. Wheel of names.
We need music.
I know. We need a little intro, I think.
You've got to talk to your brother. Your brother's got to write it.
All right. So we're giving away two. We got tons of people. So let's see who the winners are. So 3, 2, 1.
And while that's spinning, Kelsey, I just emailed you with my current Calendly booking link for them to use for that half hour session.
Perfect.
Okay, Suraj. Okay, Rush. Perfect, Brian. Thank you.
Very good. Suraj, congrats.
All right, and number 2, 3, 2, 1.
Carnival one.
Yeah. Okay. Alan. There you go. And you know what? This is hilarious. So the reason why we're using only me is because of the comment Alan made at the beginning. So see, you won. Congrats. See,
that's karma right there.
Yeah, all karma.
Hashtag me first.
All right. So that's about it. Brian, thank you for coming back again.
Of course. I love being on here. I look forward to future sessions here. Obviously, we want to try to get some more, you know, maybe next time we go into something a little bit more tactical.
Yeah.
If people want to hear, you know, some of that. So,
well, you know, in the group, let's see, like Brian's coming back on a regular basis. What do we want to talk about? And then we'll make sure that Brian is aware of, you know, some of the notes that we, or some of the interests that we've got in the group.
But I'm going to have my slides in order then.
I'll let you get back to work. And next time, do I get to enter? You know, I don't know. I'd like to get a free consult.
Well, you've got the
booking. You're thinking about it, right?
Yeah, just ask Kelly. He's got the booking link, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I got to pay.
You got to cheat. Well, no.
Anyway, you know, thanks again, Brian, for coming out, spending like an hour and a half. Of course, it went long again, but no, you're awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Appreciate being here, of course.
You're back. Thanks, Brian.
All right, guys.
I'm off too early.
Yeah. Kelsey, you know, you're so rude. We have, you know, Brian comes back, he donates his time like this, and you just cut him off mid-sentence. Yeah, see if you get paid today. All right, everybody. So, first of all, before we cut out, Kelsey, we got anything to say?
Yeah, so if you guys haven't already, just join the Facebook group. That's where all of our surveys, questions, advice, they go there. We have people from that speak on the podcast in the group as well. So if you ever have any questions specific, you can always tag them and ask a question to them. Or we like to have fun too, so we'll throw in some memes and stuff. So it's a great place to kind of get to know community. But I also want to talk about our fan episode on Friday. So I'm pretty excited about this. It's the first time we've ever done this before. So we have Raja, Simon, Marcia, Mark, and Dr. Kaz all coming on the show. They're going to share their experiences as selling on Amazon e-commerce. We even have one little fun case study that we're going to do with someone that kind of see if they've taken the advice from Lunch with Norm and how it's worked for their business. So that's going to be fun. We're going to come back to that. But yeah, we got lots of fun stuff planned. AirPod giveaway. We have one more
that ends left. Tomorrow, that right?
Ends tomorrow, and it's going to be announced on the fan episode, the Beer Nation episode. So that's exciting. And I think I just want to read one review. So if you guys write a review for us for Apple Podcasts, we'll read it on the podcast. So this one is from Jeffrey Anderson. 5 stars, a must for Amazon sellers. This podcast is great for a level of sellers. Norm does an amazing job of interviewing experts in e-commerce. Also, you can ask questions live if you want to go a little deeper in a topic they're discussing. Highly recommend.
Well, that's so great.
Thank you very much, Jeffrey. That's awesome. And Rad is asking where to send your coffee. So we do have a Patreon that we started. If you want to donate a monthly coffee, there's the options there on the sheet, or you can donate, I think, up to $20. And there's some perks with each tier that we do.
Yeah.
But if you just like and share the podcast, that's more than enough. But if you want to donate more, there's options for you guys.
Yeah, perfect. And we are going to be adding into that Patreon. I kept saying Padron or whatever. But the Patreon site, we are going to be putting some really cool content in about the people that are on here, like Brian. We're going to talk to Brian about Day in a Life with Brian. And you'll get some insights on just, you know, what these guys do or these ladies do to, you know, prepare for the day and just their kind of routines. So that's going to be kind of fun. So anyway, I'm looking forward to see who wins this giveaway, the AirPod Pro. Last thing, subscribe to our newsletter. You can go to lunchwithnorm.com or normanferrar.com. I promise it doesn't suck. It comes out every Monday with new, fresh content. And we talk about anything that's happening in the e-com world. It's not just Amazon. So I think that's about it.
That's it.
All right. So thanks again, everybody, for being part of the community. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at noon Eastern Standard Time. And thanks for joining us today, and enjoy the rest of your day.